Okay, and welcome to the fruit-based drink that is this week's national. I wish it was national naked football show. On our panel tonight, we welcome back the Claw.
Good evening.
Evening, Claw. Joining the Claw, we also welcome back England goalkeeper David James.
Good evening.
Big game coming up on Saturday for you, young man.
Yes.
And stepping in to fill the massive and no doubt smelly boots of the very slightly injured Phil Ham is one Jeremy Lieben.
Evening.
Tonight it's a disappointing result at Charlton, and anything you Tan fans wish to bring up that makes up tonight's show. That and England, if anyone's interested at all, which they're probably not. So, studio at icrfm.co.uk is the usual address, and 07973 851968 if you wish to text in. Right, which one of you two lovelies that went to the game wants to go first, James or Jeremy?
Go, Jeremy. Well, yeah, disappointing is all I can say, really. I mean, if ever there was an away game where it was there for the taking at half-time, that was it. I mean, they started quite brightly, obviously got that early goal from the free kick, which settled them down. And then, but as the half wore on, we sort of imposed ourselves. Campo was pretty much running the midfield, spraying passes around. Obviously, we've got the equaliser. Slightly lucky circumstances, but I don't think you could ever say we didn't deserve to score at that point. And then it was just like, right, and I thought, brilliant, they're going to be attacking our way in the second half, it's going to be wave upon wave of attack, and then, fingers crossed, we're going to come out with the points. But it just didn't happen second half. Like, Campo, who was the inspiration, he seemed to tire quite rapidly into the second half. And they just sort of lost impetus, and I wasn't that impressed with Charlton, so I really thought, you know, the 3 points was there to grab, but it just... yet again didn't work out. So.
David?
An improvement on Tuesday night, certainly, because the two stories of the results, if you just look at the scorelines, wouldn't tell the matches. 3-0 against Barnsley, not convincing at all, and then a 2-1 loss to Charlton, which was actually, you know, had more promise in it and was a better performance overall. But, yeah, we did do well for the first half. We deserved to be level. We just didn't have that extra gear to kick on and actually win the game. A lot of the players were tiring, and the substitutions seemed to just mess the team up a bit more than actually kind of inspire them. And second year in a row away at Charlton that we've had to bring Pablo on at after 20 minutes, so...
Right, well, well, we might as well start with one. This game on the Naked Footy website. From Ian of Ipswich, I'm sure I'm not the only person who was once again amazed at Jim's decision to start with one up front on Saturday.
Yeah.
Only the injury to Miller forced him to change things for the better. Pablo has been playing consistently well this season, especially in the position just behind the main striker. And only he could have set up Town's goal in that way, because it was quite impressive. Yeah. Another back heel. Miller isn't in the same class as either Pablo, Garvin, Campo or even Norris, yet he's played almost every week. Did Sunderland miss out on something that only Jim can see?
Well, I think gone, people Claw. Would agree with that. I mean, I was never a great Miller fan myself in the first place, but I rather assume when Jim brought him back that since he played with him, he obviously knew a lot more about his game than perhaps we could see. But no, I think he's very, very ordinary, and I don't know why he just seems to be an automatic choice.
Miller and Holland used to work very well together, both box to box, and they seem to know that timing of when who to go forward, who to come back. And Miller used to get on the edge of the box for a lot of shots. And although I think it was about 8 out of his 15 goals that he keeps on going on about were penalties, he still did put quite a few in from midfield.
Yeah.
And he's lost that. He sits back too much now.
Yeah, that's it. That was the main feature of his game before, was, like you say, timing, breaking in to the box at the right time in those goals. He's almost like a championship Frank Lampard, almost same type of player anyway.
For me, he's never done enough, to be honest. The goals were good and very good to have all those goals from midfield, but to me, he never gets in the game, and he never produces enough for me.
And
I'd much rather have Norris there, who's starting to look a really good player.
I think hopefully we'll see Norris in from now on, really, just because obviously he's been struggling with fitness up until this point. But fingers crossed he'll get a decent run in the team now. But I mean, with the number of midfielders that we've got that we've spoken about on previous weeks on here, I would say Miller has to be on the periphery of that group, to be honest.
Well, one would have thought so.
Yes, yeah, but he doesn't seem to be, does he? No, that's it. So I mean, you would think he should be, but
yeah, he's played most weeks, whatever happens, isn't he? Right, what have we got here? This is an old one. This is really Sam from Ipswich. I know this has been brought up before, probably about 20 times, but Jim was not happy with Richard Wright's positioning for Charlton's first goal. I presume that's Richard Wright, can be counted as unlucky in that some of his earlier errors have resulted in goals where good defending may have prevented them. And I know most of Town fans have a soft spot for Wrighty. But if Shane Supple had made only one of those errors, he probably would have been dropped instantly. What are your thoughts, guys?
This is something we discussed before.
We have, and I've gone on
about
it.
I think you feel the other way round, actually. I mean, you say, like, Jim would do the dropping of Supple if he made a mistake, because Jim does have it in him that, you know, if a player makes mistakes and it's costly enough and he's not one of his, shall we say, fancied few, then he does get dropped. But from the Town fans' point of view, I think Supple making mistakes, we'd quite happily go along with saying, well, he's only young, he's learning, you know, he's trying hard. Whereas with Wright, we expect a much higher level from him, you know, and a consistency, and for those mistakes not to creep in, which they seem to be doing quite a lot.
Well, I mean, I thought Wright, again, going back to the Barnsley game, and you're quite right what you said, you know, we were very lucky to win that game, but I thought Wright was outstanding. But he has made so many mistakes this season. Silly, you know, you expect it once or twice, you know.
Well, Palace actually did it in the space of 2 minutes.
Well, Kelvin Davis used to say...
Yeah.
You know, Kelvin, I remember reading Kelvin Davis said, you know, he expected to make 2 major mistakes a season. You know,
yeah.
that was a sort of a pass mark for him. But Wright sort of has done about sort of 8 already, hasn't he?
That's it, and he started off doing one bad game, one very good game, and then in Palace he actually managed to do it in two minutes.
Palace was a great example, because he made a really... I mean, I'm at the North Stand end, and he made a really good save.
That's right.
And he gave away the corner, but that was a great save. And then, I think Bruce took some of the blame for the corner, but...
But it is still that sort of thing where it wasn't so much his technique, he didn't hold on to the ball, it squirmed or it was unlucky, or it was the fact that he didn't shout, he's not communicating and he's not commanding like he should do for an experienced keeper.
Yeah, I think so.
And it was a very good free kick, I can say, because I was behind, you know, quite close behind the goal on Saturday, and he was slightly unlucky, but he could have done better with it for his experience. It's an amateur mistake that he made.
Did it creep under the wall, the free kick setting?
No, it was a straight arrow along diagonally past the wall and in past reach. So he positioned himself where he couldn't reach across that post that he didn't have marked by the wall. And he was, you know, he had the wall in front of his right post to protect that, and his left post, he left enough room for the ball to get past even at full stretch.
Yeah.
Well, I think where Magilton should have... I mean, I think most people would say that Supple should have been given the League Cup games.
He was given the first and then not allowed the other two.
Well, that's right. I mean, because those are the games where you've got to give the guy some confidence and some experience, and I'm quite surprised that he got neither of those, or not even a half in either of them.
Or if he's not, that we haven't been seeking out a loan and getting somebody else to back up Wright instead, who's quite happy to sit on the bench, who's at a stage where they'll do it. Because Supple, he's still young and he's still got a long time to go, but he needs to be playing games.
Well, you actually feel for Supple himself, don't you?
Yes.
What's he got to do to get in the side, or at least get a loan, or at least get a game in team somewhere?
Yeah, I'm sure he doesn't expect to be number one by any stretch of the imagination, but getting, you know, at least, you know, one game in six, say, you know, that sort of ratio throughout a season, and not waiting for Richard to fall out of the loft.
No. The thing is, if Richard did fall out of the loft, as you put it, I mean, he's going to come in, he's going to be ring rusty, it's going to take him a while to get used to the pace of playing Championship games.
He's going to be under big pressure as well.
Yeah, he's playing little reserve games
against concern me that if that did happen, that Jim would go out and get a goalkeeper on loan instead. And not just as a backup, not just as a, you know, insurance policy, but to come in to replace Wright rather than the same role. Supple now to a chance. Yes.
But don't you think he should be doing what you were suggesting, maybe getting an old goalkeeper who's sort of quite happy to sit on the bench, who's got experience, and also let Supple go out, get experience in a first team somewhere.
Certainly. That's exactly what he should be doing. Somebody
seems
who's
like
in, you know, pushing the wrong end of, you know, their 30s and thinking, well, you know, they're probably back up or third choice, you know, somewhere else, and they'll be happy to be back up here.
Yeah. We've got an email in from Brendan. This is back to Miller again. Miller trades on his late runs into the box. Unfortunately, he's lost that running power since his first spell at the club, and his runs into the box are too late. What think you?
I think that's exactly right. I think that was his main point, was it's not a lot of skill, not fantastic passer, not, you know, not that creative midfielder, but he did time his runs, and he always reaching the edge of the box at the right time to just poke it home.
And of course, he used to link up well with Pablo, but Pablo's now playing in this different position completely, isn't he? Sort of just behind the front one, so it's not going to work either.
Yeah, what do you think about, was anyone think about Stead being pulled off at that stage of the game on Saturday?
I mean, to be fair,
he had the best game.
I don't think he had the best game, and Jim was trying to change it up. I think he was trying to go for the win, and it wasn't the same circumstances as previously when the fans did react. So there was a little bit of reaction, and I think that was just your typical kind of North Stand mentality, was to have a go at Jim just because we're not winning, just because, you know,
yeah,
to find an excuse.
But then as the game gets into those last 20 minutes, becomes a bit stretched, you want, you know, perhaps we would get a bit desperate, then you need your big man up there as to possibly create options rather than taking him off. You could have taken a midfield player off, maybe.
Maybe Jim was going for the jinx of the ex-player.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys think. I'm a bit bit disappointed in Lisby so far.
I'm
flashes. He looked very good at times, but whether he's just got to settle in or whether he is really the answer.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Yeah, I spoke to a couple of Charlton fans, and they were saying that he was that lazy sort of player, and he would go for things that he knew he could win.
He strikes me as quite a selfish player as well, and not a teammate.
Well, you know, in the modern game, goal hanging doesn't work.
No, quite exactly.
And I think, you know, Lineker was like the last of those great ones that all he did was hang around, wait for the ball and score. And yeah, anybody would take Lineker in his prime in their team nowadays because you can do that. But nowadays, you have to work, and especially at this level of football. Premiership, maybe you can hang around, you know, that top third and wait for the ball to come through to you. But
it's early days for Stead, and I think it's too early to say he's going to be a good acquisition. But he does look like he's a worker. B, he's a good team player, and
he offers different facets to his game. Like, he's obviously tall, so he can win headers, but he's quite good on the floor as well. He's not a Pablo with his flicks and stuff.
No, I think that, you know, any decent player should be able to play with Pablo, because Pablo's so good at he's so aware of people around
him. He unlocks things, doesn't he, in those
streets. So if you're a team man, he must be a dream to play with, actually, I would have thought.
You'd think that him and Lisby, in theory, would work around the box.
I saw that. I mean, one thing that caught my eye, I didn't go to Watford, but I saw it on television. And do you remember that one where Lisby should have passed?
Yeah, I know what you're thinking
about. No, what got me particularly, you know, okay, Pablo had a go at him, and I'd have thought in that circumstance, Lisby should have put his hand up and said, yeah, sorry, mate.
Yeah.
But he actually had a go back, as if to say, you know. Yeah. How dare you?
I'm the goal scorer here.
And I thought that showed a very poor attitude, to be honest. There you go.
Well, he was dropped straight after with that, wasn't he? But then he probably would have been dropped anyway. So, right, this is a half-term report here from James Cummins. He's talking about the half-term school holiday, I think. So you can go through this one. With the half-term holidays all but coinciding with the two-week international break that we are now in, who do the panel think is top of the schoolmaster Jim's class, and who's going to be kept behind after school for detention? Right. I would doubt that there'll be too many A grades handed out, and they... I'm reading that wrong. I don't think there'd be too many A grades handed out, but there'd be an awful lot of C and D grades in players' report cards at present. A top of the class, he has Campo, Walters, Volts, and that's probably it. Bottom of the class, Lisby, and must do better the rest of the squad. What are your comments?
I'm very disappointed. The biggest disappointment for me is McCauley. I thought he was an excellent signer, and I really thought he would be the answer, and I think he looks very poor to me so far. Again, hopefully it's just a question of settling down, but
it's very difficult when Richard Naylor's been your most consistent player to actually be that confident about any of the others.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure about Bolt so far. I do like him, but I'm not convinced so far that he's actually adjusted to this level of football and the pace.
He's had a couple of bad ones again, coming back to goal. You know, goals through other people's mistakes.
I can't blame him for the own goal on Saturday.
Well, it
is one of those things, you know, with at that split second where the ball, he was unsighted when the ball came, which was his fault to start with, but to actually it bounced up off of his chin or knee, what have you. But
it could go anywhere, couldn't it?
Campo has, but for fitness, he's been impressive so far.
Well, he looks quality, doesn't he? He's got that awareness. That's again, and ball control.
Yeah, Walters is still doing quite well. Not setting the world like he did last season, but
I think Pablo gets a big tick, and I'm not sure about Volz either, but
Garvin, what do you think? Because I'd have Garvin in my team every week, but that's just me.
Kenny's up and down.
I've always been disappointed. What was that, a boat
just came into the studio. Carry on.
No, we've seen the potential as a youngster. He used to boss midfields against his own age group and then through the reserves as well. In the first team, he's not ever quite achieved, you know, what he's capable of. And he's starting to do that now. And Norris coming back to fitness is starting to show what he was bought for as well.
So we're starting to... You forget how young Garvin is.
That's it. Yeah, because he's only 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen him do it. So, yeah, Garvin is starting to now finally come good to his potential that he showed.
Sorry, I'm just reading the text there. Carry on.
What about Shirley? Do you think... would he be in your team?
Mm.
It's difficult to know where to fit him in, because...
Again, he's
what he does give is that energy and that, you know, in that midfield, it doesn't give the opposition any time on the ball. And he does work hard, and he is actually a stronger physical presence than a lot of the other midfielders
he's got a football brain, I think, he knows.
Yeah. But it is the whole problem that Jim's got with so many midfielders, how to fit them in and what system to use.
Not enough of them have had enough games necessarily. They've always been chopped and changed that many times Miller's probably played the most, has he? Otherwise other people have been fits and starts here and there, so it's difficult to know, you know, if you're going to be in one game out the next, it's going to be difficult to just come in and perform at your top level every time, isn't it?
I know it's not an original comment, but the thing when, I mean, Quinn, for example, played two or three games ago, and he played an okay game, and then the next week he wasn't even the 16.
Yeah, but he has done well.
And then he was brought back into the team. I think those are the things people find a bit, you know, you can understand a guy being rested and put on the bench for a game or two, but to be first choice, then thrown out entirely, and then to come back, it just seems a little bit bizarre.
And especially when, you know, the players are, you know, they feel they're doing okay, they must do, and then they've been dropping completely, and they're looking to see, you know, the players that have gone in aren't setting the world alight either.
Well, exactly.
As a player, you've got to hold your hands up and say, if there's somebody in your position and, you know, you can't budge them because they're playing superb, then, you know, that's life, unfortunately. You have to get on with it and you have to work hard. But, you know, there's nobody that's nailing down their position.
No. That
you know, the person behind him can say, well, fair enough.
The classic one of that, that's not very good English, is it? But the classic example of that was, which I think we discussed a couple of weeks ago, at least one of us from you lot was here, the Palace game. He didn't play any of the so-called, what would you call the ball players, if you want, the tricksy players like Garvin, Campo or Kanyago. He didn't play any of them. And yet the next game, which was only 3 days later, he played all of them. So that's a big change round. You know, I know people say you shouldn't criticise him for team changing, but when you're going to just lump three completely different players into your midfield, just change it completely, that's a bit strange, don't you think?
Or, makes you wonder.
I mean, I'd have had them in anyway, because I like those three players, but...
Yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder what they're working on in training. Is there a consistent theme in what they're working on, or is it just like, comes in one day, do this, then didn't work out, right, boys, now we're doing this, something completely entirely different.
Yeah, of course we don't know, do we? We're not privy to that sort of information.
Yeah.
But still on the midfield, it seems to be the theme of the night. This is from Tony of Leicester. Miller is being unfairly criticised at the moment. He tries to get us passing all the time, and when it doesn't come off, people get on his back. He's a decent midfielder, no better or worse than that.
I think the difference. With
I think he's right. I mean, he is a decent midfielder, but he's got, when you've got classy players.
Yeah, I think the thing better than him is when we've had this injection of cash into the squad, and Jim's had the opportunity, shall we say, to go out and bring in new players, which he has done, brought in a lot of players. Then you start to question Miller's place, because he's brought in these other midfielders. If we had no money still, we were struggling, then, you know, he's not done anything necessarily that wrong, but it's just when you have brought in these other people, you wonder, why bring them in then if you're going to persist with someone we had before?
Rightly or wrongly, I mean, we've got a comparison to make with Miller. These other players that are coming in, we haven't seen them apart from one or two games throughout the season for other teams, so we know a little bit about them. Miller we'd know about. We've seen him play a lot of games for us, and we have that comparison to make. And compared to the first spell with us, he's not up to scratch.
No. He has had a couple of really good games down here, hasn't he?
Towards the end of last season, he was getting his foot in and tackling and working really, really hard. And I think it was that, you know, that if you don't see him working hard, you're not seeing a lot coming off. And I think that's what's been disappointing us. Because we've seen what can come off when he does work hard. Yeah, he has put the effort in before.
He had a good game about probably a month ago, the home game before we played Palace. Can't remember what that was. He played very well in that.
Was it the Reading game?
Maybe? Yeah, it was.
He
played really, really well. And then the next game, he's completely anonymous. It's not like he has bad games, but he just disappears, doesn't he?
That is the season so far, though. As we said, there is nobody really who's sort of, you can say, as if you had to pick a player of the season now, I suspect we'd have sort of 10 different answers.
Yeah.
And none for being superb, some for just being, you know, not bad.
That's right.
Not being a detriment to the side rather than being a positive.
Or the number of players have had good games.
Or for having good moments.
That nobody's seems to put together a run of good performances.
Email from Alan of Ipswich. What has Bruce done wrong?
That's a good question.
That's all he says.
Well, seeing as he's actually going to captain his country in their little B-side game, and it's just a strange one. He's been selected for the main squad for Republic as well. Mm. And Republic aren't a small nation when it comes to footballers nowadays.
Yeah.
So why he can't get into our team after doing so well, and he gets dropped again.
I mean, he's good.
Would you put him in instead of Naylor or McCall?
Well, Naylor wasn't that brilliant at Charlton, by all accounts.
I think the trouble is Jim's got a problem with McCauley in the sense that he's made him captain.
Yeah.
Very hard to drop him, however.
Big money signing as well, so it's
a bit of a, embarrassment.
There is a sort of we've gone up from 5 million in wages up to 11 million over the last couple of years as well, and you'll have to wonder how top heavy that is for the new people that have come in that trying to get our money's worth. The likes of Volts on loan rather than Bruce who's on his old contract. It makes you wonder, which one's more value for money when you look at the bottom line.
But Bruce, I like, he's quick, which is gets us out of jail at the back sometimes, and he's a good tackler as well.
He puts his body on the line. Yeah. I think if you want to criticise him, his distribution is pretty shocking, actually. And that goes for a lot of them.
Where do you see him? Do you think more? Because he's used sometimes at centre, sometimes at right back.
I think he sort of stacks up in both positions, personally. I don't think he's a bad right back at all. Mm.
I thought he played really well at right back. That was against Reading as well, wasn't it?
Again, you brought in Volts, and I guess he expects to fly.
And you'll have David Wright coming back at some point as well.
Well, he's fitted in at left back on Saturday, didn't he? Do you know how long Thatcher's out for?
It was originally 5 to 6 weeks when it first.
Again, I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, again, you could see he played at a higher level when he played. He looked very solid.
But the fact that I hadn't actually noticed him doing anything one way or the other is usually quite good for a defender. I'm quite happy if I don't notice my defender's doing anything.
That's right.
They're doing something right in that respect.
He's not a great overlap or anything, but I think he's a very solid, no-nonsense defender and.
I think he's come here for a quiet life anyway, so he's not going to stick his head out, and I think he's just going to get on with it, which is a positive thing.
And what about the young players? Are they going to be farmed out, or are they never going to get a chance again? I mean, Haynes has gone right down the pecking order, hasn't he?
Well, that's come out today that he's not available for loan.
Yeah, no, it's weird though, isn't it? Because you see him getting even in the squad at the moment?
For all our quality or extra players that we have now, he's the only one, you would say, that actually changes the game in that sense when you bring him on.
He's the best impact player in the squad, I think, as a substitute, because he's got that pace, hasn't he, to come on 20 minutes to go and just rip through people.
If he's ever going to be anything more than that, then he does need to go out, or he does need to be playing games, one or the other.
And the other one, Bowditch, of course, because Jim made a big thing of trying to get Bowditch back and playing, and he's not even. He was sub a couple of weeks ago, wasn't he? But that's it.
Yeah,
I mean, he scored a few goals the other week, didn't he?
Because of the money and because of the expectations and so on, I think we said this the other week that I think it's going to be very hard for young players to break through now. It's like the Premiership, only on a much reduced scale, obviously. You haven't got time for these guys to learn their trade in your team and make mistakes and so on, because you can't afford 10-15 games. So we'll keep bringing in experienced players because we want results now.
Billy Clark, second high scorer in League Two, doing really well. doesn't mean that he'll come back here and do a thing, because when he plays for us, he's not got the confidence, it doesn't work for him, and he tries the socks off it.
And they've got to give him half a dozen, 10 games, and they can't afford to do that.
That's always been Bodic's problem. Brought him in, he's played 2 or 3 games, started to get into the groove, started to do okay, and he gets dropped again because he hasn't scored or he hasn't performed enough.
So why don't they? I mean, Bodic isn't out on loan, is he?
No.
No, and nor is Haynes, and he just says he wasn't going to let him go, so why not? I mean, they're never going to get any better, are they, if they're just going to be kept on the sidelines?
And
they're
not going to be strong 90-minute players, you know, going up a bit against big, strong defences like that.
Mm.
I mean, they're always going to be the lightweight, fast, nippy one that, you know, clips at their ankles when there's 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I would, going back to what Jeremy said, I think I would always have Haynes on the bench for the very reason you say, you know. And he's done it so many times.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he doesn't want to be on the bench, but he'd rather be on the bench than
not at all.
Saturday, I mean, was he injured on Saturday or unavailable?
No, he travelled, he just didn't make the final.
Because imagine, I'd so much rather have seen him come on than Lisby at that moment in time. I think that, you know, he would have offered more.
Well, that's the thing, that's the mysterious Lisby pace that I keep hearing about.
I hear about it,
but I haven't really seen it, except when the ball goes into the corner. When the ball's one on one with a goalkeeper and he's right, a defender to be. Doesn't seem to happen.
And he ducked out of a kind of...
Well...
He could have gone for on Saturday, but just chose not to near the end. I mean, he might have got clattered by the keeper, but...
But there's a couple, you put your body on the line, you risk injury, you risk getting a yellow card for fouling somebody, or you risk scoring a winning goal.
Yeah.
And you have to take that risk sometimes. And there's a couple of times, and he was very guilty of that against Palace, which was the main thing I think that was highlighted.
Yeah. Right, well, unless you want to quickly talk about England, you've got about a minute to talk about the Swansea game, which is the next one that's coming up, I think, next week and a half. Any predictions?
Yeah. Well, they've shown a bit of form in the last couple of games, haven't they?
They
had a good result Saturday.
They did. I was worried for them in Doncaster. They came up and you thought they might do well, and they've both been suffering, you know, bad results, but Swansea have come good.
The league's very much like last year. Teams are sort of very inconsistent. Teams go on little runs and then they fall back. I think Swansea could be tricky. 2-1.
2-1 to us. Yeah, Jeremy?
I'll go 3-1.
Oh, God, I love all this comment. I think the next time we should all, everyone should predict a big defeat, and then we'll actually win quite comfortably. David, James?
Oh, we're going to lose 4-0 then.
You're going to lose 4, well done. So that's a victory to Ipswich. Okay, on that note then, thanks to David, thanks to Jeremy, thanks to the Claw, of course. Until next week, have a good one, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.